I want to talk to you this morning about a name. The name above all names, the name of Jesus. When you walk into our building, as we experience, yes, above all names. So I just want to step right into it. And the first thing I want to share with you about that name is, it is the name above all names. The name above all names. In Philippians 2, verse 9, Paul writes and says, "Therefore God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name." The name above every name. If you read the verses preceding this, we're told that Jesus came, He humbled Himself and He was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. "Wherefore God has highly exalted Him." And that's followed after saying that He gave Him a name above every name, that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. His name is truly the name above all names. The soldier in the foxhole finds courage in His name. The family in the waiting room finds hope in His name. The prisoner in the prison cell finds hope and patience and endurance and freedom in His name. The preacher in the pulpit finds an anointing in His name. The gospel that transforms life is preached in His name. In His name, the lame walk. In His name, the blind see. In His name, the deaf hear. In His name, the mute speak. In His name, the dead are raised. Truly, His name is the name above all names. The Bible tells us that every brow that's ever been covered by a crown will bow at the feet of Jesus to the praise of His name. Every king, every queen, every president, every prime minister, every judge, every congressman, every governor, every potentate that rules or has ever ruled, or ever will rule, one day will bow before Him and honor His name. His name is the name above all names. It's the name of Jesus. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's the firstborn over all creation, the virgin-born Son of the living God. Jesus and the Father are one. He is God, a very God. He is man, a very man. He is the God-man, Jesus Christ. And His name will be honored above all other names. He is the promised seed, carried in the womb of a daughter of Eve. The curse breaker, the promise maker, the miracle maker. He's the name, the one whose name is above all names. He's the Son of Righteousness that has risen with healing in His wings. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the Lord of resurrection. He is the King over death. He decides and judges and rules all nations that have ever been, that will ever will be. He is the name above all names. And how I pray this morning that you know Him. And how I pray that this night when you put your head on your pillow, that your lips will whisper His name, because His name is the name above all names. I want you to notice it says God has exalted him. God has given him a name. God has endorsed it. The early church preached it. And every believer through the ages has confessed it. It is the name above all names. Jesus. Why don't you say it with me? Jesus. I want you to notice, secondly, that it's the name by which you must be saved. Now, we live in an age of pluralism, polytheism, liberalism. We live in an age of relativism. But I want to tell you that the Word of God is clear when it comes to this matter. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." There is no other way. Jesus says no one, not one person, will come to the Father except by me. It's the name by which you must be saved. You have to confess Him. His name must be on your lips and in your heart. It's the name that brings salvation. Joseph spent a night pondering what he would do concerning the young girl he loved so dearly and so much. He became aware she was pregnant with child. He knew it was not his. He loved her so much, he didn't want to make a scandal out of it. He didn't want to bring shame on her, although he knew that it would probably end their plans. But while he's pondering, while he's praying, can you imagine how he's agonizing, how brokenhearted he must be in those moments as he paced back and forth? And then an angel appeared before him and began to tell him, he said, "The child that she carries is conceived of the Holy Spirit. And when he's born, you're going to call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins." You see, it's the name by which you must be saved. That's God's plan. He's the one who impregnated the Virgin Mary by a creative miracle in her womb, passed on the seed of God to Mary's son, and he became the God-man. He became the Savior of the world. In his first coming, as he hung on the cross, he wore a thorny crown, and he died with the shame and sin of men upon him. But when he comes the second time, he'll be wearing a different kind of crown. He'll be coming in second coming glory. And every eye shall see him. And they that pierced him will look upon him. And everyone will stand before him and give an account to him, because his name's above every name. And if you haven't known him, you've missed your opportunity to know the one whose name by which you must be saved. So important. I remember a number of years ago, I visited a Parchment Prison in Mississippi. They let me in that place and guided me by escorted guard, opening those prison doors and closing them, opening them and closing them. And I walked into the cell of a man whom I knew, I had prayed with and ministered to previously. And I sat there surrounded by all the iron bars and coiled razor wire and armed guards. And I saw the joy of Jesus on him. You see, he had experienced meeting Jesus. You see, even in a prison, those bars can't keep Jesus out. He, by secular terms, was an incarcerated man who was bound behind bars. But see, he met someone named Jesus, and he was living a free life behind those prison bars. He had been saved. He had been saved. He's the only way. Jesus is the only way. Years ago, There was a preacher by the name of Joseph Cook. He attended a convocation of world religions that was being hosted in Boston, Massachusetts. They were gathered there from the various religions. And the purpose of the conference was for each religion to kind of state their case of why they viewed their religion to be the way to know God. And Joseph Cook listened as religion after religion posited their theologies. Finally, he stood up. He had his opportunity. He said, "I simply ask you this. I know a woman whose hands are blood-stained, and she's desperate, and she's miserable. Her sin is the sin of murder. How can she be cleansed? Tell me, what does your religion offer in order for her to know she's been forgiven and that the stain of her sin has been washed away?" And it is said when he did that, the place where they sat grew silent. He said, "Where is your answer? Do you have none?" Then he said, "Listen, I hear the Apostle John. He says, 'And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin.'" There you have it, dear friend. That's the reason you can be saved through the name of Jesus. Because you and I are sinners who are bound for eternal separation from God in a place the Bible describes as hell if we do not know Him. But the wonderful thing is, it doesn't matter where you have gone, what you have done, or who you may have become, in a moment of repentance, turning from the life you have lived, and calling upon Jesus, you can be forgiven, you can be cleansed, you can be adopted into God's family, you can be set free, you can be liberated, you can know that you're saved. John also wrote, "These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life." You see, I believe in a know-so salvation. You can know that you're saved. You don't have to wonder about doubting. He loves me, He loves me not. He's proven. He's forever settled the question of His love for you when He died on the cross for you. And by His name, and only by His name, but by His name, you must be saved. I press it home on your heart right now, dear friend. Have you called upon Him to save you? Have you recognized your lost condition without Him? Have you contemplating the afterlife? What happens after your last breath? Where does your soul go? Where does your spirit go? Because you will live on. I pray that you know Jesus, because His name is the name by which you must be saved. Thirdly, I want to share with you that it's the name more powerful than powerful men. We just read in Acts chapter 4 that Jesus is the only name under heaven. Peter said that because he and John were on the way to temple, and there was a man over the age of 40 that had never walked in his entire life. And Peter looked at him and said, and John did, and said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus." In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the Bible says he leaped to his feet. It got him in trouble with the religious leaders, with the magistrates, with the power brokers. They were called to task before them. They asked them questions. They scratched their heads and they said, "These are ignorant fishermen." And yet, we cannot deny that this man who we've seen years and years begging for money at the gate cannot walk. His legs was all twisted and withered up, but here he stands whole. So, They said, you guys take a break. We got to talk. They talked. They called them back in. And then it says, this is what they said in their private meeting, but so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. You hear the intimidation in that? We got to shut this down, so let's put the fear in them. That from now on they speak to no man in this name. It's the name that hell hates. It's the name that the demons behind political structures stir into a fury the heart of those powerful people. They don't want to hear that name prayed on a football field through the loudspeaker. They don't want to hear that name offered in a prayer in a classroom. Oh, you can talk about God, but don't mention the name. The name. So, verse 18, so they called them and commanded them. They're using their power, invested power as religious leaders, political leaders, as the case may be, and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. You do realize that means you can teach anything else and everything else. Just don't teach something in the name of Jesus, and that's about where we are. But the answer is to do what they did. They told them, said, I'm paraphrasing. Guys, now you can just go ahead and figure out how you're going to handle this, but we can tell you right now, we can't help but preach and share what we have seen and heard. His name is more powerful than powerful men. Let me just say to you this morning, it could be there's someone here that where you work, you're being intimidated. Just remember His name. Remember how He loves people. He will grace you and empower you and infuse you with the wisdom you need to be a shining light in a dark place, a vessel of love in an angry place. And through His name, hard stony hearts can be melted and mountains made by demons can be cast into the sea. The name more powerful than powerful men. Well, what did they do after this? That brings us to the prayer meeting. They got together after they had been commanded not to preach anymore in the name and decided, you know what? We're going to ask God to help us with this situation. That might not be a bad first step for all of us in any situation. Right? It says in verse 29, now as they came together, they began to lift up their voices with one accord. Verse 29, this is their prayer. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. You know what the word was they had been speaking that got them in trouble? The simple, powerful gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the message the church has that can change the world. Not our opinions. Not our human philosophies. Not cleverly designed political strategies. I know those kind of things have their place, but what's going to change the world? Nothing but the gospel of Jesus Christ that transforms the heart. And that's the message we've been charged with. These guys understood it. And they called on the Lord, said, behold their threats. And said, give us boldness that we may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. You see, it's the name through which miracles are wrought. They needed a miracle. and they got bunches of them. That promise holds true for you today. Place a claim on it. Steal the name through which miracles are wrought. It's amazing the things that God can do through His miracle working power. I want you to notice that the early church, they came together and they prayed for boldness to be faithful to the Word. And they prayed for God to stretch His hand to release His power. Is that our go-to steps? I can't help but think if we would be governed and directed as they were, we might see more of the results they saw. Because it's in His name that miracles are wrought. And I'm amazed when you read through the book of Acts. And this is Mickey and I were getting that community Bible study. She mentioned this coming Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. And the study is going to focus the places in the book of Acts where we see something supernatural happening, a miracle, a gift of the Spirit operating, an angelic encounter. It's amazing how many of those things and how many of those things happen that we don't hear much about. But this was commonplace in the early church. And so we want to do kind of a deep dive on the supernatural aspects found in the book of Acts. Because you see all kinds of incredibly powerful things happening in the early church. And this just wasn't a group of people God decided, I'm going to use this first group through, just kind of pedal hard and fast and get it going. And then from then on, the church won't need to do that. They can just coast on what was. We need the power today. We need the Holy Spirit moving in power today. We need to be able to hear the voice of God today. We need to learn how to flow in the gifts of the Spirit today. We need to be aware of how things operate in the spirit realm today. Because we need what the early church had. And I would declare and prophesy over you, we have what the early church had. We need to rise up, appropriate it, and walk in it, anticipate it, expect it, and demonstrate it in His name. I remember a few years back when we took a group of about 18 people to Trinidad. In one meeting, one night, we had several nights of meetings. But out of our fellowship, a fireman by the name of Sam Lurch prayed for a little guy. I think, if you hear Sam, he's about 8 years old, if I remember. Yeah. 8 years old, eyes all blurry. And they watched that little boy's eyes clear up and he could see again. I watched my wife pray for a young woman who had, since the age of five, due to a severe chronic infection in the inner ear, it had eaten away the hearing apparatus, the organ of hearing inside her ear, and she had none. And yet, in a moment, God did a creative miracle, and she began hearing where she could not hear before. In His name, miracles are wrought. In His name, the name of Jesus. When we understand the scope of what it means to voice His name. Just like you're known by your name represents who you are. People associate what happens in your life with your name. Jesus was the miracle worker. He was the Savior. He was the Redeemer. Hope of the world. The soon coming King. It's in His name that miracles are wrought. I remember in a small Bible study with a small group of people on a Wednesday morning, and I was just teaching, and all of a sudden a vision formed before me, and I was looking at this young lady, and I said, the Lord is showing me that you had walked up to the edge of a bluff, and that you were trying to muster up the courage because you had decided you were going to jump and end your life. But you didn't jump. And God's saying that He spared your life. She began to weep, cry. When she composed herself, she shared because she was there with part of a recovery group that had come to the Bible study. And she shared her testimony with me that she had gotten strung out on drugs. And she had gotten to such a hopeless, dark place that she went out on a cliff. And she stood on the edge of it and she was going to jump. And she heard a voice saying to her, "Don't jump. I have a purpose for your life." She backed off, fell to her knees, didn't know what to do. It wasn't long after that one of her friends led her to the Lord. She ended up in recovery, and she was there on fire for Jesus. But that day, God was just confirming to her. She already knew it, but it was a confirmation, that was me. That kind of stuff happens. Sometimes it's a revelatory, a powerful thing that can happen. Sometimes it's a miracle of timing. Sometimes it's a physical healing. Sometimes it's the healing of a broken heart. Sometimes it's being freed and delivered from some type of bondage. But it's the miracle, working, supernatural power of the resurrected Jesus Christ, who is present with us this morning by promise. He said, "I will attend to my word, confirming my word with signs following." You could be a sign this morning. Say yes to the gospel. Watch it miraculously change your life. Maybe you're here and you're needing a healing in your body. Maybe it's you that can go home healed today as you take a step of faith to receive prayer for healing. By His name, miracles are wrought. I want you to notice also that it's the name that brings answers to prayer. The name that brings answers to prayer. John 14, verse 13. This was the night before Jesus was crucified. Jesus teaching them says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, that's a pretty potent promise. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. One of the secrets to this prayer that's being spoke of here is to ask what Jesus is asking. Well, how do you ask what Jesus is asking? By knowing what's on His heart. How do you know what's on His heart? By spending time in the Word and in prayer, drawing close to Him. Just like a husband and a wife, the more they live together, spend time together, reveal their hearts to one another, share their dreams with one another, share their desires with one another, you almost get where you know what one another's thinking. And you can ask for them. We can go to any restaurant in town, and I probably wouldn't have to open my mouth, and my wife could order exactly what I would order. And I know for most part that's pretty simple. Probably something that's going to have ketchup on it. Something that's fried, unfortunately. So forth. But isn't that true, the intimacy? When we get close to Jesus and we get a heart for Him, we begin to reflect His desires in the earth. And when we say yes, boom, the power comes. We're stepping in sync with God's plans. Whatever your situation is this morning, begin to draw near to Jesus. "Jesus, I need you. What's on your heart? Show me what you have for me. Show me what to do. Give me a promise out of your word." He'll be faithful. It's the name that brings answers to prayer. And it's so amazing how this works. A number of years ago, Mickey and I were building a new house, and there was a set amount of money that we knew we were praying about it. And we said, we can spend this much on it. And I was building it myself. And we were getting close to the end. We figured out we had reached that deadline. And we needed $15,000 more. Exactly $15,000. And that morning we were talking about this, and I've been studying about this. I said, let's just join hands here. Father, in the name of Jesus, my wife and I, you said if two of us agree as touching any one thing, it'll be done. You said if we ask anything in your name, you'll do it. We believe you led us to this place. We believe you directed us in the plans we made. And here we are. We need $15,000. We ask for it in Jesus' name. And we agree that you're going to move and make it happen. Thank you. That was about 45 minutes before we were going to leave for a Bible study. When we got to the Bible study, we're about to start. A woman comes up to us and stretches her hand out, and she has a check in it. She said, "This morning, as I was getting ready to come to this Bible study, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said that I was to sow this into your life for your house." And we unfolded that check. You want to guess? $15,000. That's amazing. Amazing. Our God will supply all our needs. But it's not just for that kind of thing. It's for whatever your need may be. And God doesn't always do it just exactly like that. I just wanted to encourage you to know that there's times when you're praying that someone else is listening. And as I've shared with you frequently, God likes to include several people in His answers to prayer. More people get in on the blessing. It draws us closer together. It increases all of our faith. And it's just, instead of having some hot shot that's walking up here and everybody else, "Oh, I wish I..." We learn that you have a part, I have a part, God brings it together, and boom, or kaboomba, as I like to say. And that happened because while we're praying, immediately, because we did what He said, this woman's praying and seeking the Lord, getting ready to come to Bible study, and she's able to hear the Holy Spirit. I just love it when that kind of plan comes together. That's God at work. That's God moving. Jesus is the name that brings answers to prayer. You see, when you pray a prayer in Jesus' name, you're drawing on His checking account. So, for that which lines up with the plan He has, now there's some things that's not going to happen if you don't ask. That's the power of prayer. I truly believe there's some things God wants to do that's not going to be done if you don't ask Him to do them. He might find someone else who's asking Him to do them. Now, there are some things God's just going to do. And you can get Larry Bullard to explain that, dear pastor, or Pastor Doc. But He's sovereign. And He doesn't have to ask answer to anyone. But as His children, His heart is so open to us, He gives us this signatory privilege of praying in the name of Jesus that's honored above every name. And in the courts and treasuries of heaven, His name is honored. And when a check comes through that's signed with His name, ka-ching. It may be a healing. It may be a breakthrough. It may be a deliverance. It may be a new job. It may be a spouse you've prayed for. It may be a child coming home. It may be. The miracles are many. The power is great. But what links it together often is a simple prayer of praying in Jesus' name. Let me talk a moment about the name that demons fear. Luke chapter 10, Jesus is sending out 70. They went out and did what He told them to do. They came back and says, "Hey, it worked!" Well, they didn't say that, but if you read between the lines, that's how it was. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us." You're catching on. If you stop there, demons are going to laugh at you. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. Again, it's the same idea. It's as if Jesus is standing there because of the authority that's been delegated to you as a child of God. When Jesus could just walk into town, they'd start crying out. With a word, He would cast them out. And the power of the risen Christ now dwells in us. It goes on to say, and Jesus was so excited about them being excited. As a matter of fact, if you read it in the Greek, when they said that, it said Jesus began to jump up and down, to leap with joy. It, like, He just loved seeing them learn, like, get it. Yeah, they're getting it. They're learning like we do with our children. You know, you show them how to do it, you show them how to do it, then you help them do it, then you step back, then when they can do it theirself, yeah. And Jesus mentors us that way and loves us that way. But then He tells them now, you're real excited about this, but do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. See, demons are spirits. That the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Always keep the main thing. The main thing. The enemy can get us off in deliverance ministry if we're not careful, because it's powerful and you can see all kinds of, like, out there stuff happening. I've seen a lot of it. But you stay anchored by keeping the main thing. Lord, I thank You that I'm Your child. And I thank You these demons are subject to me in Your name. But I'm glad I'm Your child. I honor the power of Your name, Lord Jesus. Just a week before last, I had a young man that he had prayed, Lord, when I come by, just let Pastor Eddie be out there. And I was. And in a few moments, just to watch the power of the Holy Spirit working as I led him through renouncing a stronghold. Now, I'm not going to get any more particular than that. A stronghold that was in his life. A burden that he was carrying. The shame that had him bound. And to see that broken off. And see the radiance of his face changed as authority was taken over the demonization that had been allowed to occur in his life. He got freed in a moment in the power of His name. And I would say to you this morning, if you've got a bondage in your life, some type of addiction or some type of compulsion or some type of obsession that gets a hold of you, and it's like you become someone else. It's like it gets to a place then it's in control and you're not, and it's kind of like you're being drug along. It's like your desires all of a sudden turn and take you hostage. That's a sign of demonization. And it doesn't have to be spooky. It doesn't have to be bizarre. We live in a spiritual world. I got my feet on the material world, but the spiritual world so far transcends this. But as Christians, we have the capacity through the Holy Spirit. We have the ability through the Holy Spirit's enablement, and we have the authority delegated to us by the Lord of Lords and King of Kings to be able to see those demons expelled from people who were hosting them. Sometimes it's a stronghold in the mind, lies. Sometimes it's falling into a familiar family patterns and we get trapped and we get stuck. Sometimes it may be some type of paralyzing fear, some type of intimidating thought patterns. Sometimes it may be doors you've opened to drugs or alcohol or pornography or things like that. Sometimes it can be a wrong relationship and it needs to be severed, and the demonization that occurred through that just needs to be dealt with. Simply but powerfully, in the name above all names, Jesus. This should not seem out there. It should seem New Testament. It should seem as a ministry of the New Testament church, because it is to be. We are called to this. It has not been changed. The plan hasn't changed. The charge hasn't changed. How we are to carry it out is the same. He said, I will be with you always. I will confirm your word with signs following. We've been delegated this authority to trample under feet all the power of the enemy. On Wednesday nights, right now, we're studying about spiritual warfare. And we're learning about how to wear the armor right now. And this Wednesday night, I'll be teaching on how you're going to crush Satan under your feet. Because it's very clear in the book of Ephesians. But it's the name that demons fear. Now, lastly, it's the name for every whoever. I love this one. You know why? Doesn't leave me out. Doesn't leave out a little curly-headed boy born with a partial cleft lip on the back side of Nowheresville. He found me, filled me with purpose, saved me, forgave me, spared me, delivered me, and sometimes uses me, and I'm so grateful for that. But you're that whoever as well. Notice how clear the Word of God, and this is particularly for you this morning. If you've been invited here, maybe this is the first time you've ever been in a service like this, or maybe you haven't been around services like this much, or maybe even the Christian thing's new for you, or maybe you grew up in church, but you got out there, and for some reason you're here today. It's like you're being called home, and I just want to simply present to you this scripture. The Apostle Paul says it so clearly, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you might be saved. What? Thank you for correcting me. I love to be around the folks that know their Bible like that. You will be saved. That's God's promise. A lot of times people get all confused, like, well, I just don't feel saved. Or I don't know. Did you call on His name? Yes. Did you mean it? Yes. Well, that's God's promise. Are you saying He's not a promise keeper? Put your faith in God, not your own ability. You cannot save yourself. Man never could. Man never will. That's the reason He said it's the name by which you must be saved. He goes on to say, if you believe in your heart that God is raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 clarifies it. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many of you have a smartphone in here this morning? I should have said phone. What do you do when you want to talk to somebody? You call them. You want to be saved? Call on Jesus, by whose name you can be saved. But that doesn't sound hard enough. That's religion talking to you. That sounds too easy. You haven't learned to discern grace's voice. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And He goes on from there. Said, you won't be ashamed when you do it either. You'll fall quickly in love with Jesus because He's a promise-keeping God. And He will save you. That's what His name means. Jesus saved. Yeshua saves. Jesus, Yeshua, we sang that a few lines of that earlier. Jesus, New Testament, is the equivalent of Yeshua or Joshua, depending on which vowel you want to stick in there, in the Old Testament. You see, in the Old Testament, Moses was the lawgiver. Did Moses enter the promised land? He didn't get to enter the land of promise. He struck the rock. You remember, water came out of the rock the first time when he spoke to it. The second time, he was going to heft it out. And because of that, he didn't get to see the promised land. But a man named Joshua did. And Joshua carried him through. Now, today's Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. It's when Jews around the world, they're taking a couple of days of rest and inspecting and examining their lives. But, oh, so sadly, they're still looking for their Messiah who's come already. They're still looking for Him to come. And the Sabbath to them is having a day of rest, but the New Testament teaches us that we have a New Testament Joshua who has saved us from our sins, and now He is our Sabbath. The book of Hebrews teaches us this. We rest in Him. We rest firmly in His finished work. What the law could never do, He has now done because He fulfilled all the law, and we made F's, but we get His A. His righteousness has been imputed to us. So every day is Sabbath for us. We live in the place of rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying it's not good to have a day when you physically rest. I'm talking about greater things here. And now, the rock that the lawgiver struck that kept him away from the promises, now Jesus has fulfilled all of that. And just as Moses originally could speak to the rock and would flow, now the rock himself is saying, if you're thirsty, here's the river of life. It's springing forth. Whoever thirsts, come and get a drink. It's just gushing out. All you got to do is drink, then rest in Him. That's what it means to be saved, to rest in Christ. To stake your claim on the work He did on the cross and give up your flawed, fatal efforts of trying to be right with God by your own righteousness, your own self-righteousness, your own religious works. It will never work, never has, never will. You're saved by grace alone through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So whoever calls, doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. Doesn't matter what side of the railroad tracks you live on. Doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, or in between. It doesn't matter if you're pretty or unpretty. That's all relative anyway. It doesn't matter how much you weigh or how much you might not weigh. None of that matters. In Christ Jesus, all are one. And the call to salvation is for the whoever's, or the KJV says, whosoever will, let him come. Let him come. Let her come. Let them come. Little children, come. I remember my daughter who's here today, 5 years old, on the side of the interstate, just south of Memphis, Tennessee, in the back seat of the car, praying and asking Jesus to come into her heart. And He did. And this last week, in the altar at our former location, one of you shared with me about a relative who was 85 years old. He got saved. Doesn't matter, 5 or 85, whoever can come. Whoever can come. The person who's done good works for people all their life, but who still has a black heart because of sin, they can come. The thief on the cross who's dying as a criminal, executed by the Romans, with his dying breath says, remember me. He became a whoever, a whosoever, and spent that day in paradise with Jesus. Doesn't matter who you are. Again, doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done or who you've become. You're a whoever. And Jesus is saying to you this morning, through His name, you can be saved if you will just call on Him, because His is the name for the whoevers. The whoevers. I want you to stand with me. Our worship team, they are coming. Our altar workers are coming into this altar area right now. And my prayer is the Holy Spirit is doing something in hearts in this room. And first of all, I want to speak to those who may be here that you don't have assurance that you know Jesus Christ. I'm going to lead in a prayer in just a moment. We're going to stand on that promise from God that I just read to you. And if you've never prayed that prayer, or if you're unsure, if you're saved, I invite you to pray along with me. Don't pray to me. That doesn't work. You pray to God the Father through the name of His Son, the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's attracted to that prayer, and He will save you. The blood of Jesus will be applied to you.
You will be adopted in the family of God. The Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you. And you can know your sins are forgiven. It's for whoever's. That means you. So if you're denying or refusing that today, then that's going to put it squarely between you and God when you stand before Him. You remember that passage we read just a few moments ago? Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. There's a book of life. And your name needs to be there, and it will be if you've trusted Jesus Christ to save you. And I'm going to ask a few of our staff members to be right up here at front too as well. Just come on up. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? For those of you who aren't sure if you're saved or not right now, let's just begin where the Bible begins. Just acknowledge before God right now. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I've missed the mark. I know there's been things I've done that's violated your law. But today, I'm wanting to be forgiven. So, I believe You, Lord Jesus, died on the cross for my sins. So I confess You as Lord right now. Just tell Him that I confess You, Jesus Christ, as Lord of my life. I believe in my heart right now. I believe it, that God raised You from the dead. You're alive. You're the living Lord, and You're here by Your Spirit. So I call on Your name. Just pray this prayer. Save me, Lord Jesus. I'm calling on You, Jesus. Save me. Now settle that in your heart. That you, yes, you're doing this. You mean this. This is between you and God right now. Because I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit right now is giving you some assurance. Is giving you some peace. The burden that you've been carrying, it should feel as if it's gone. There's an awareness that you're forgiven. It's inexplicable. It's unexplainable in human terms, but it's a work of God's Spirit by which you're saved. Now, thank Him for saving you. Thank You, Lord Jesus. I've done what You said to do. I believe You're a God of Your Word, so thank You for saving me. Now, ask Him this. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. I want everything You died to give me on the cross. Baptize me with Your Holy Spirit. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Empower me with Your Holy Spirit. Let Your gifts operate in my life. Let Your fruit be produced in my life. And while your heads are still bowed, because I want to bear witness, the Bible says that if we deny Him before men, He'll deny us before the Father. But if we confess Him before men, He'll confess us before the Father. Confess Him. I'm looking right now while people's heads, just lift your hands up and say, preacher, I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Are there others? Best decision you'll ever make. Anyone else, you may put your hand. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank You, Lord. Thank You for these miracles, oh God. Thank You for confirming the power of Your gospel. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Now, across the room, if as you've heard this message today, if the Spirit of God is just stirred within you and you realize that, you know, I need to, let me just use common terms, I need to take it up a notch. I need to be more serious about my walk with God. I want to exhibit Jesus and His Spirit and His power more in my life. So today's a new day for me. A day of new beginning. In a sense, a new year in my spiritual life begins today. To rest in Christ. To draw upon Christ. To drink from those living waters. To live in the land of His promises that have been procured by Him. If that's your prayer, just lift up your hand. I'm committing to that day. Oh, many hands. Yes. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Holy Spirit, just attend to every lifted hand. every need of every heart right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we just ask right now if there's anything that you want to do, anything you want to point out, I pray that you would do that right now. There's someone here on the bottom of your left foot. You have a, it's like in the, I encourage you. I believe the Lord wants to touch you and heal you. It's on the bottom of your left foot. Anyone? Thank you. Thank you. Father, I pray for my brother right now that you would just come upon him, Lord, that your Spirit's power would come into his left foot. We just command pain to go right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we say, be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I know sometimes some of the things I may say in the natural, they may sound a little silly. But I've just learned through the years, you know, that's all right if it sounds silly. But I love it when God just touches someone and ministers to them by sharing things that we shouldn't know. But I just saw when I was praying a lady in the kitchen and like dealing with, it looked like flowers, what it looked like. And you know, she was in her Martha White mode. Martha, what's the flower? Is it Martha White? Is that it? Yeah, she was in that mode. And it's like, boom, she dropped some of it. But that just became kind of a typical, because you've been so frustrated. Just so anxious and so frustrated and bound up. And it's just like I've seen tears coming out of your eyes. And you had a meltdown in the kitchen. Now, if that's analogous, I believe that's literal. And I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but during this altar time, I would encourage you to come up. Because I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that He's going to minister deeply to you. That you have allowed the fear associated with your anxieties to rob you of the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you have weakened yourself by allowing those wrong thoughts to control you. But today's a day of liberation. Today's a day of new beginning. And I just encourage you to come step out from where you are when we begin worshiping in just a moment. So, and I encourage those of you who trusted Christ, I would encourage you to step out and come and share that with someone. They have some follow-up steps with you about baptism and how to grow in Christ. And we'll even put some materials in your hand. So as we begin to worship, worship team, let's just step right in right now and begin singing. You come. Come. These are here to pray with you, whatever your need may be. Whatever the burden is, whatever the need is, you come right now in Jesus' name.
I love. I love your presence.
Oh, I love this song. Just draw us on His presence.
I love.
From where you are. God's so good.
I love come from where your you are. Presence.
Seal the decision. Make the commitment. Would you come?
I love you, Jesus.
Courageous ones, thank you for stepping into what God has for you here today. There's someone else who needs to come.
I love your presence. Yeah.
don't mean to embarrass, but I just keep seeing something here on the dear lady of the orange blouse. Yes, you, with the long hair. I just feel like the Lord wants me to encourage you this morning. And I'm hearing this term that Daddy God wants to speak to the little girl inside of you. It's like there's been words that spoken over you that have rang over and over and over in your mind. And it's caused you to belittle yourself and think too less of yourself. And today, in the name of Jesus, we break the power of those words. Some of them have been curse-filled words. We break them right now. And I am declaring over you that the Spirit of the living God is moving upon you even now to encourage you and awaken you. I see you like a flower that closes overnight. But when the sun comes up in the morning, that it's a radiance and a countenance that's going to shine in your life. And it's like you have been pulled under the shadow. It's like, when's it going to be my turn? When's it going to be my turn? When is my breakthrough coming? And Daddy God is saying, your breakthrough is here. Your breakthrough is here. So I just declare His blessing over your life. And do you bear witness with that? Do you bear witness with that? I just declare that over your life in Jesus' name. And I would encourage you to come and let one of these dear sisters pray over you in Jesus' name. Mickey's right here. Mickey's just right here. And yes, you too. Yes, you. Back here. Yes. Yes. Sometimes Daddy God just wants to love on us. Just love on us. I encourage you, if you need a healing this morning, if you need your breakthrough, sometimes when a word's released for someone else, you're saying, I needed that word. Claim it. God's not impartial. I mean, He's not partial. He'll let you step into that word. So I encourage you to come. Encourage you to come. The person having the inner ear trouble in the left ear, I encourage you to come. This is like the earache kind of thing. And sometimes I'm feeling what other people are feeling, and I'm sensing that right now in my left ear. That's been troubling you and bothering you, I encourage you to come. I encourage you to come. Dear lady, whoever you are, I encourage you to come. Step into God's Word and let Him touch you and let Him heal you. That you, God, you be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I think I just heard the Spirit of God said, there's three people in here He is calling to preach. He's calling to preach. You felt a call to preach. You've been struggling with that. Now I know that we can all preach, but I'm talking about He's calling you to preach. I feel like there's three people. It's Pastor Doc, Pastor Larry, if he's not busy, come right here with the Alliance, the ministers, the pastors. I encourage you to come. I think there's going to be three of you right here. Got one. I believe there's two more. I don't know that I've ever heard that word before specifically for like a number of people. I believe there's two more people. I'm not calling you to preach, okay? Don't confuse what I'm talking to someone. I feel like God's been dealing with you. And you know He's calling you to preach. And so you need to say yes right now. You need to step into that. Another one? Number two. Right here. Are there others? Are there others? Who's the one? There may be more than three. I don't know, but I think one more is supposed to come. Right here.
Do you have any trouble with your back? Do you have any trouble here? Have you had any kind of back pain? Be healed right now in Jesus' name. I know you're young, but my back started hurting the moment you stepped out. And I just pray healing over you right now from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And I just pray that the gifts of God be stirred up in you and these other two brothers right now in the mighty name of Jesus. That there'd be a flourishing of your life. Just from this day forward, there'd be a hunger for the Word greater than any hunger that you've ever had. God's going to begin to open His Word to you. He's going to begin to spoon feed you. Then He's going to fill up your cup. Then He's going to fill up your plate. And then He's going to let you fill up your trough. And then He's going to turn you loose to feed His sheep. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirit of God, have your way this morning. Have your way in every hurting heart, in every life this morning, Spirit of God. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, dear Father. We thank you for a new day. We thank you for restoration. We thank you for a new beginning, a new beginning, a new beginning. The Barn People! Mark, Melody, the Barn People. You've had the barn meetings. God says it's going to go to a whole new place, a whole new level of glory. It's going to come into the barn. It's going to be the glory barn anointing. And I'm saying to you today, even the animals in the fields are going to be affected. There's going to be a productivity and increase on the land and on the animals on that land, that it's going to be a ground zero for glory in the region where you live. Already is, I'm just saying, new measures of it. In the name of Jesus. And it seems like those barn doors flinging open and people driving up. I see motorcycles. I see Jeeps. I see four-wheel drives. I see like a Lexus, Mercedes. It's all kind of boats. It's going to be ministered to in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you have a need, I encourage you to come this morning. Mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We just declare that Jesus is a name above every name. Name above every name. Pastor Doc, if you'll make your way up. Jesus is the name of every name. We declare the name of Jesus over our city. Over our city. Over our city. Pastor Doc, if you'll make your way up here. Yeah. We just declare the name of Jesus over our city this morning. Over our region this morning. Get me good? Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So grateful to our King. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. One more thing, there's someone here, the top teeth on your left side and some on the bottom right in here. You're having a lot of pain. And let's ask God to touch you. Let's ask God to be your dentist this morning. I encourage you to come. Right now, just come. Let's pray for that right now in Jesus' name. You're a coming. Be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Pastor, would you welcome our granddaddy, Pastor?
Yes.
Share whatever's on your heart and pray the blessing over it.
Well, we've heard the gospel, haven't we? I'm supposed to tell this for somebody. I've told it before, but it's just appeared at the end of the sentence. A few months ago, Vicky, our daughter, sent me a little clip of Alistair Begg preaching on the cross. And I saw the clip, finally. Some of you may have seen it. But Alistair Begg was preaching on the cross, and he said, you know, at the cross, there was a thief on each side, and they were cussing Jesus. And just before they died, the cussers, one of them said, remember me when you come into your paradise. And he said, when I get to heaven, I want to look that guy up and say, you made it. And then I want to ask him, how did you make it? Because I kind of think there was maybe an angel when he got there said, how did you get here? He said, I don't know. He said, let me ask you some questions. How do you stand on justification by faith? He said, I never heard of it. Then he said, well, how do you stand on Scripture? He said, I don't know. Well, then how did you get here? I don't know. All I know is the man on the middle cross said I could come. I can't tell him, Jim, how much I prayed, how much I read, how much I was educated. But one day, all I can say is the man on the middle cross that I could come. When we got this in our hearts, it changed our lives. We happened to be up in St. Joe, Missouri. June started having some what we thought were heart issues. And she's in the hospital in St. Joe, and I'm preaching a six-day meeting. And she wouldn't let me quit. She said, I don't want you to cancel the meeting. So I'm getting ready, or I'm talking to her about it. And she's in the hospital, and I'm about to go preach. This is what she said. Honey, preach good. I said, miracles never cease. She said, the man on the middle cross said you could. I want to tell you, there's somebody, that's for you. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. We've heard the gospel. So I'm going to be down here. Whoever that is, I want to say to you, the man on the middle cross said you could come. He did it for you. You can't do it for yourself. Can you say amen? Would you lift your hand and receive the Numbers 6 priestly blessing as we pray? The Lord Jesus bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And the Lord give you peace that you cannot explain. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said amen. Love on somebody before you leave. Meet me down here. It's very crucial. It's very crucial in your life. God bless.